As I was preparing and pondering, you know, about what to talk about today, I was thinking about my past. I was thinking about the needs of the world. And the greatest need of the world today is to know the love of Jesus Christ. The greatest need of the world today is to feel that love. In fact, I think it was Billy Graham who once said, he said, every heart has a vacuum in it that can only be filled by Jesus Christ. All right, so that need is, it's important. It's never been more necessary, never been more obvious to me how necessary it is to know that love. So as I've been going around the house today and around the house this week, the question has been, what is love? Probably some of the first thoughts that you have on what love is may not be necessarily true to what it really is. Love is a big word. It's a compound word. There's like so many different meanings and applications for the word love. But what is love? Such a loaded question. And before we get into that, let's bow our heads in prayer real quick. Dearest Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the freedom that we have to love you, the freedom that we have to worship you in this place. Lord, help us to take hold of that, hold it dear to our hearts, ponder on that word that you give us day and night. Lord, we ask you to be with this service. We invite you into this place. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So what is love? Can love mean different things? I think we all know the answer to that, right? Especially today. And, you know, you turn on, what does the government want you to think love is? What does the world want you to think love is? A good way to look at what love is to understand what love is not, right? Let's go there a little bit. I love at times to look up random words on Wikipedia, all right? And I looked up the word love, and I thought I was going to get a small definition like this, and what I got was 16 pages of what love is. The world is definitely confused on this word, all right? But let me read part of that. I'm not going to bore you with the whole definition of it. A variety of different feelings, states, attitudes that range from interpersonal affection, like I love my mother, or to pleasure, I loved that meal. If you've ever had my wife's pecan pie, I love that. All right? It can refer to an emotion of strong attraction and personal attachment. And it can also be a virtue representing human kindness, compassion and affection, the unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another. It may also describe compassionate and affectionate actions towards other humans, oneself, or an animal. Now that was, in itself, that right there was a lot to tell what love is. So the question isn't really answered yet, is it? So we can't keep asking that question. What is love? Well, some of the things that were mentioned in there, like human kindness towards others, some of those things sound a lot like fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? So once again, asking that question, what is love? We're going to go over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first word? Love. Joy. Peace, patience. That word patience is hard for all of us because everyone was like, is he going to talk again? Patience is hard to come by. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So maybe this is a partial answer to our question about what is love. Definitely the first attribute mentioned was love, but that word fruit is singular in nature, all right? So every one of these attributes mentioned, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, these are all attributes of one singular fruit. So you want to show love. Maybe the best way to show love is to work on the fruit that you have inside of you. Walk by the Spirit. Get to know God better every single day. Reach out for that love. That's one way, I think, to look at love. So what is love not? Love is not hate. Love is not lust. Sometimes we even misuse and contrast our friendships, our acquaintances. We say, I love that person. Well, you don't even really know them. You know, so in a way, that can be a contrast to love. Even though some of my deepest and longest friends, I do love very dearly. So what is love? We mentioned the world and how it misconstrues the word love, the idea of love. So what is the world view of love? Maybe understanding a little bit of that, maybe it'll be easier to show others the love of Christ because we understand where they're coming from. You know what I'm saying? Love everyone needs. Love everyone wants. No matter what you say, no matter what you do. Love is important. Perhaps one of the most important things that we could ever, actions we could ever take. So what do the entertainment industry, what do the poets and the playwrights, what do people say about love? William Shakespeare actually said, all is well that ends well. In that musical, said, love all, trust a few, do wrong to none. Good concept, but I see still a nature of cynicism in there. All right, if you're truly loving all right, we want to show it through actions, I believe. Gandhi, he's another one who talked about love often. Where there is love, there is life. I believe that. You know, if you got love in your life, people see it. Plato. Who knows Plato? Most of these names you haven't even heard since high school, right? Plato, every heart sings a song incomplete until another heart whispers back. Those who wish to sing always find a song. All the touch of a lover, everyone becomes a poet. All right? I think sometimes everyone thinks that they know what love is. Maybe you felt it in a relationship or the love of a grandmother or a mother or some dear friend. You know, the love of a woman who stands by her man and says, I'll stick with you. We'll keep doing this together. I'll live in a cardboard box before I am apart from you. But we still need to understand. We need to keep asking that question. What is love? The world kind of views love in a lot of ways as a sexual thing, right? The Greeks would call that eros. All right, it's a sensual love. Definitely not the love we want to teach our sons and daughters going into adulthood, going into the world. Not the same kind of love. Or storge, which is more of a kinship or a familiarity with someone. I love my dog. My dog's cool. But is that the same thing as true love? Can anyone really find true love? That's a good question. As we look at the cynical look at love, as we look at the lustful things that we see, the billboards, the magazines, at the newsstand, whatever, as we look at how the world views love, sometimes even hateful attitude towards love. As we look at that, I'm reminded of a verse in John, 1 John chapter 2. Verses 15 and 17, let's turn there together. Hopefully my bookmarks are right. Here we go. My little passage here in the Bible calls this, you know, it refers to this as, do not love the world. This is a warning. When we see how love is misused and misthought of in the world, the word says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lusts of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and what he does comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. I can sit here and I can tell you about every single person that I've ever had the pleasure of walking to the foot of the cross. And I can remember every single face. Okay? But it's not about my efforts. It's about the efforts that the Almighty does on our behalf. Amen. He wants to love us. He wants to love us fiercely. Sometimes we say the phrase, I don't know how to love. Or, I'll try to love. Well, you all know that I got a lot of kids, so I'm going to quote Yoda on this one. There is no try. There is only do or do not. That's pretty wise, considering. Just love people. Not for any boasting, any particular gain or recognition. Just love people and enjoy the fruit that comes from that. I want to be careful not to spend too much time frustrated at how the world views love. And I want to spend more time in this question about what is love and trying to understand what God wants us to understand about love. If we show love the way the world views, we risk falling into our sinful nature. The lust, the boasting of things that we never had a part of, to be honest. So what is love? How do we love? Jesus loved the little children, did he not? Mark chapter 10, verse 13 and 16. He speaks a little bit about the little children. Now people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples, they rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms and put his hands on them and he blessed them. I think one of the things that softened me up and made me get my act together was not only this beautiful woman who stood by me, but the thought of losing my children. The thought of maybe losing them to worse than just the things of the world, the gangs, the violence, the drugs. And the thought of losing them to hell. Because I wasn't showing them love. You need to show your families love. You need to show your children love. Children, they just seem to understand things so much better than adults, right? That made me think, what do children say about love? What is love? My friend Matt spoke on some marriage stuff at our Valentine's Day get-together we did this year. And it made me want to go look up some of the things the children say about love. So I'm not going to go through a big list as he did, but I want to just share a few of these because some of them are funny, but some of them are like, wow. Man, I wish I got it the way they did. When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time. Even when his hands got arthritis, too. That's love. Children get it. They see things. That was an 8-year-old. When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth. That was a 4-year-old. Isn't that cool, man? You know, I asked that question at home, and one of my sons right away answered, love is patient, love is kind. Which, you know what, we're going to get into that, because the content of our scriptures, if you guys want to turn ahead today, is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 13, all right? And how important love is. Let's go on a couple more. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne, and they go out and they smell each other. I like that. I like that. That was a 5-year-old. Thank you, Carl, for that laugh. Okay. Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Well, I must love my wife, because that's happened since day one. Oh, that was a 6-year-old. Love is what makes you smile when you're tired. The words of a 4-year-old. What wise words. Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy, and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure the taste is okay. What a good mommy. I was a 7-year-old. Miss Emily, an 8-year-old, said, love is when you kiss all the time. Then when you get tired of kissing, you still want to be together and you talk more. Mommy and daddy are like that. They look gross when they kiss. Isn't that great? Oh, this one's going to wow you. Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and listen. 7-year-old boy named Bobby. Nika. Age 6. And I got to tell you, I'm going to read this one to you, and you're going to say, we really need about a few more million Nikas in the world. If you want to learn to love someone better, we talked about how to love someone. If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend who you hate. I got to love my enemies? I don't like my enemies. I want to kick them, punch them, run away from them. I got to love my enemies. Anyone who knows me knows I'm a pretty intense guy. And that one is really hard for me to chew on. I got to love my enemies. My son's first answer to that as 11 years old was like, you can't love your enemies unless you have God. We need a few more kids like that in this world. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and then he wears it every day. Love is like an old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they know each other so well. I think I agree with that. During my piano recital, I was on stage and I was scared. I looked at all the people watching me. I saw my daddy waving and smiling. He was the only one doing that. I wasn't scared anymore. We show love to our children. They get comfort in that. They feel secure in that. We show love to others. They feel the same kind of comforts and securities. Amen. This world is such a lack of hope. Such a sadness. I've gone to 3 funerals in the last 2 weeks. 2 of them because of suicide. If the most important thing we need to share with others is love, we really need to get on the wagon. We need to start doing this. With innocent little answers like this, there's no reason that we can't share a little love, because most of these are godly looks at love. True, unadulterated affection. My mommy loves me more than anybody. You don't see anyone else kissing me to sleep at night, do you? Love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. That's all right. This one I'm not so sure about. It's funny. Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he's handsomer than Robert Redford. That seems a little unbelievable, I must admit. Okay. When you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down like little stars that come out of you. What an image. Oh, children just, they get love. The last one I want to read is, you really shouldn't say, I love you, unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. That's why I try to tell my children 100 times a day how much I love them. In part because I didn't hear it much from my father growing up. He's a loving, providing man, but very quiet and to himself. But I want my kids to feel that. I want them to know it. Something happens to you today when you leave, when you go home, do your kids know that you love them? More importantly, if something happens to you today, does God know you love them? Have you accepted his love? There's two more ways that the Greeks would say and voice the word love, phileo, which is a brotherly love, and agape, which is unconditional love. And that's the love that most of us as Christians should aspire to, right? Is loving people unconditionally. An action. Agapeo is the verb form of agape, an unconditional love. But not just a noun. You got that verb. You got to be active. Yeah, it's an action. It's done by random acts of human kindness. How many times have you driven and you've seen a person in their car? Maybe they're broken down. You don't know if they need a jump or they're out of gas, but we don't do nothing. Well, I'm here to tell you the whole reason you even notice that is because the Spirit chose to use people to reach people. And if you notice and you don't ignore those little promptings, you get a chance to share love with a world that doesn't know it or thinks they know it. We get an opportunity. Agapeo, that's a good word. Huh? The action of love. Now, as we read through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it's not a very long chapter, okay? It's kind of poetic, actually, too. As we read through this, every time you see the word love, it's agape. Okay? So, just to clear that up, Paul is trying to stress as the singular most important virtue of the Holy Spirit that we can possess is love. And he stresses that very, very much so in this particular chapter. So why don't we turn there together if you're not already there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In the previous chapter, Paul tells Corinth, he was talking to them about spiritual gifts, right? Spiritual gifts, and he was telling them to eagerly desire and ask for the spiritual gifts. And like, oddly enough, you know, this is why the chapter headings are kind of silly sometimes, and the little verses and stuff. This verse is split up between the chapters. That last verse of chapter 12 is like, the end half of that is first part of chapter 13. So he ends with, eagerly desire the greater gifts. Paul picks up in our chapter today with, and now I will show you the most excellent way. He's like, you know, you want the gifts. You want to eagerly ask for to be used by God. You should be just seeking that. Because it's not only just for other people, and it's definitely not for personal recognition, but it's for you. It's for inside. It makes you stronger when you're sharing that love, when you're loving others, when you're serving others. Most excellent way. The most important virtue is love understood by Paul. So let's go ahead and read through this. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. All right. I don't know what you believe about the spiritual gifts, but I believe personally they are real, that they're as important today and as useful today as they ever were.
Amen.
But it doesn't matter what spiritual gifts you have. If you have, I think, you know, one of the unmentioned spiritual gifts is the gift of gab. It doesn't matter if you know how to talk about God. It doesn't matter if you've read your Bible cover to cover and you've memorized the whole thing. It doesn't matter if you have the best voice in the world singing on the praise band. If you don't have love, if you're not doing it for the purpose of love, you have nothing. It's pointless. So we need love right away. Super important. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mystery and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. King Solomon, wise, right? You know, when he was asked, what do you want from God? He says, wisdom. Give me wisdom. Well, King Solomon's love, or his view of love was more of eros. It was more sexual in nature. The guy had 1,000 wives. It's hard enough being the man that Julia deserves. How am I going to be a man for that many women? No way. I don't get it. His view of love really kind of dumbed down the wisdom that he had, I think, you know? Kind of took away from that. You know, I've said often to people before that as Christians, when people know you're a Christian, you have the power to influence other people's view of Christ, what Christianity is. You have the power to make the name of Christ famous. Or you have the power to make it infamous. Who are we going to be today? Are we going to show His love to others? Are we going to receive His love if we don't know it already? Who are we going to be today? I don't want to have all these gifts and have no love. Verse 3. If I give all I possess to the poor, surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. You know, a good example is someone who gives a ton of money to various charities and organizations, and let's be quite honest, it's probably more because of a tax write-off than anything, is Bill Gates. The dude gives a lot of money. He's even said, out of all the billions of dollars I have, my kids don't get it. Because I made it on my own without it, and, you know, they're going to have to do the same thing. But there's choices in lifestyles, things that the company represents and stuff like that, that don't show the love of God. So all your efforts, coming from rags to riches, everything you've given, everything you've done, it's now, once again, dumbed down because you didn't do it because of love. You did it to save a buck or to make a buck. Verse 4, love is patient.
Amen.
Patient. That's real hard for me. I want to get up and move. We did a crosswalk around Easter, and we were giving out little brochures trying to invite people to sunrise service, you know, come out and celebrate Easter with us, have free pancakes, you know. I even told him, you'll love the pancakes. And as we were going and taking turns carrying this cross, I just started running all over the place. I see a person over here across the parking lot. I'm going to run over here, and I'm going to give him just an encouragement and invite him out to church and fellowship. All right? I see a person over here, and I'm going to run over here, and I'm going to do the same thing that I did for that guy over there. Now, I've had a problem with things like smoking most of my life, so running is very hard for me. Okay? I've abused my body. Running is not easy. But if God says, run and show my love, we need to run and show His love. We need to do it. We can't ignore that. Let's see. Love is patient. Love is kind. Remember what I said? How do we show love? Random acts of human kindness. your neighbor. So maybe they can't get to weeding their garden or something. It's easy for me. I have sons. You go do it. They get voluntold, not volunteered. All right? But those random acts of human kindness, and sometimes best expressed through children, let's be honest, teach these values to your children. They show others love. Who knows what kind of door that's going to open up? Who knows? Maybe you'll even see that person in church later. God is so amazing to love us so much. Paul used to say, call himself chief among sinners. You know, and I always say that that's because they wrote this book 2,000 years ago. I hadn't met me yet. Oh, man, but if God could save a guy like Paul, if he can pull me out of where I used to be, he can pull you out of where you are now. He wants to love you. He wants to use you to show his love as well. We'll stick with that agape love. Let's talk a little more about that. What is love? What is love? What is love? Love, it does not envy. I think if we're being honest, we all fall in that trap sometimes. You look at the world and you get jaded. Why do they have what I want, the job that I want? Why is this young guy over here getting the thing that I want so bad? I work hard. Don't I deserve it? These are all justifiable reasons, I would say. But doesn't our Bible teach us that there is no justification? Not even a little bit? God wants to share his love. He wants to give us love. He wants to use us as a conduit of his love. So don't envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. I believe in the power of a testimony. All right? You know, it says in Revelations, by the blood of the Lamb, not by Barry's blood or Doug's blood. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies, we'll overcome. We'll not fear our lives so much to shrink from death. Love, love shown through our testimonies, through our experiences. You might say, why have I been through? Why did I have to go through what I've gone through? You may have a jaded attitude about love today. God wants to, that's of Satan. He wants to use that to keep you from loving others. He wants to use that to keep you from stepping up and being the man you need to be for your families. Or the mother you need to be, the nurturing, loving mother. It is not rude. How many of you have said unkind words to someone in traffic? Yeah, I can tell. Me too, all the time. And the difference now is, now that I know the love of God, difference is now is no sooner than I do it than guy punches me in the gut like, what are you doing? You know better. You know better. How are people going to come to know my love if you're showing my love in this regard? Nothing loving about that. In California, they call it a California hello, but doesn't make it any more loving just because we call it that. All right. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. We talked about that. We don't do this for the gain. We don't do this for personal recognition. All right? Not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. I've heard Pastor Jim actually say it's more appropriately said, love is not angered. So once again, what is love? I think we're coming to a closer understanding of what love is, right? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. We've all heard the saying that bad company corrupts good morals, right? Why would you hang out with your buddy from high school who still lives that way. I've recently had to cut a couple of friendships off because of that. Because what risk am I running? Fall into the temptations of the devil. Misguided sense of what love is. You want to stay away from those things. You want to embrace things of truth. Fellowship. In Saturday, men here, just for you for a second, there's going to be a men gathering. All right? We're going to learn a little bit and talk a little bit about what a real man is. Some of you have seen my silly picture up on the wall. And no, there's not going to be any guns at the breakfast. But we're going to talk about how we can better love our families, our children, our wives, how we can lead them, how we can step up, break chains, and start a new legacy of faith. Love for God. Important things that the Lord wants us to understand and work on. And that's part of the fellowshipping. Instead of hanging out with our non-believer friends, when we hang out with other believers, that's part of the benefit in fellowship, is that we can hold each other accountable. When you're seen up here praying or at the kneeling at the altar, you can help pray for that person. You can also help hold them accountable. Say, I saw you gave your life over to Christ. What's this? It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. When everything in this world seems to be just gone in an instant, love remains solid and remains true. It's something that we can hold on to. The rest of it is all fleeting moments. Fake love, not real love. We need to hold on to something of hope. Understand, when we're in the love of God, He's going to protect us. Protect our hearts. He's going to show us hope and help us persevere the trials we're facing. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. I'll stop at that verse for a second, because that verse brought to mind John 3:16 and 17. Why did God come? Why did He send His Son? He sent His Son because He loved the world so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God, and this is where people get confused when they think about God and His love. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through Him would be saved.
Amen.
That is love. That is the self-sacrificing nature of true love. Something we all should look to for an example. Aspire to be more loving like is that of God, that of Jesus. So what is love? How did Jesus show us love? Let's finish up this chapter and then we'll answer that question. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Remember what I said, that you can make the name of Jesus Christ famous or infamous? Our actions, unfortunately, determine a lot of times how the world looks at the love of God, how they understand it, whether they even want anything to do with it. So we love like little children. We laugh like little children. Like the innocent stories that we read earlier. We love. But we put those childish ways behind us. You can love like a little child and trust like a little child. I remember I've been through this whole walking phase quite a bit. And one of the most common things I remember about their walking is they got their hands up here. Not to balance them from falling. They've got their hands up. They're looking at you like, Mom, Dad, look what I did. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. They're not worried about the roller skate in front of them, the book, their brother who doesn't ever pick up after himself. They're not worried about those things. They're trusting, if I fall, Dad's going to pick me up. Or catch me, maybe. So we can trust and love like little children without acting childish in our ways. Now we see but a poor reflection as a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. You don't understand how to love? I think there's an easy answer to that. Is figure out what Jesus is trying to tell you today. The closer we are to God, the more we seek Him, the easier understanding love is going to be. The easier it's going to be to show it to others. Things like outreach, taking the Bibles out and sharing the Word of God with other people, that's great. But if you don't have love, if you don't have that agape love of Jesus Christ, you have nothing. You've done nothing.
Amen.
He loved the world, and now He's chosen to use us to love the world and to use us to reach others. What did Jesus say about love as a command? When he was asked this question himself in the temple square, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And then he tells you to love others as he loves, as you love yourself. He even goes further to say, in John 13, verse 34, he says, a new commandment I give you, inasmuch as I have loved you, love one another. In that verse, it's agapao. It's the verb of love. It's the action of love. Jesus acted in your life. He loved you desperately enough to die for you. Now He wants you to love others desperately like He loves others. He wants you to act. Jesus, He's our true commander-in-chief. And He wants you, He's commanded you to actively love others, to be involved in their lives, fellowshipping with the saints, spreading the word, sharing Bibles, teaching your children. All comes down to love. If you have love, you have nothing. The last verse in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians was, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Okay. So what is love? In 1 John chapter 4, all throughout, the whole central theme of the whole chapter is God is love. That's the answer to that question that we've been asking all day. What is love? God is love. I have a video clip. It's a poem that I wanted to go ahead and play for you guys. It's only about 3 minutes. The title of this clip is God is Love. If we could turn the lights down a little bit.
Just have love or give love. No, God. said was gone with the wind. Love. When God looked from heaven, he didn't look at you with disgust. No, he saw his child in danger and said, salvation is a must. So he descended and ended the lie that we befriended, defended and contended for a love that never ended. You. Like a valiant warrior, he fought for your life. Then down on one knee asked, will you be my wife? You see, God's name is still the same, pronounced love. It's never changed. He let his own son take the blame so that you could be saved. And this love is not based on what we do or what we say. This love remains sure that we look the other way. God doesn't see you for your faults, your failures, or your ability to make mistakes. He sees you for your value and ranks you amongst the greats. Now believe this, you're not a stuff up, a mess up, or a product of hate. You're an object of love that God wants to contaminate, infecting you with love so that you would die to the lie of fear, realizing that he's never left you, but has always been there. See, God loves the pastors, the porn stars, the good guys, the murderers, the prostitutes, the preachers, the holy, and the law breachers. Gaybos, homos, no-gos, and schizos, any so-called sinners, yes, he died for all those. God is love. And no matter how far you run or try to hide, his love will pursue you to the end of time. God isn't mad at you, he's mad about you. He doesn't avoid you, he only pursues you. He doesn't want your money, he just wants your heart, to hold you forever and never be apart. L-O-V-E, for you, for free, continually, completely, unconditionally, eternally, love.
What a poem. I don't think that any person not reading strictly from Scripture itself could ever say better what love really is. This love is meant for all. His grace is meant for all. He wants to forgive all. He wants to share his love with all. He is stronger than what you're going through. Amen. He is bigger than your issues. We don't have to sit and point out anyone's sin because we all sin and fall short the glory of God. But we can love them. Amen. We can love them and allow God using us to love them right into the kingdom. 1 John chapter 4, just a few more verses and we're going to close up here soon. Verse 9, you know, right when, during that video, it said, God is love. Let's pick up a verse line. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. Amen. And his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he is in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. And today, I believe that God wants to show you his love. He's trying to reach you. He's trying to touch your heart. He wants to dry your tears. Allow your shoulder to cry on a comfort in time of need. He wants to offer you hope. Even though you may feel you don't have any. Sometimes life hits you between the eyes. There's not a person here who can't relate to that. But God loves you. And He wants to love you. Like that poem said, He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. That's a fierce kind of love. I love it. If God's calling on your heart today, if He's asking you today, He's urging you to give your life over to Him today, don't ignore that. Now is the moment of salvation. You don't know if you got tomorrow. You don't know if you got a chance. We don't know what's going to happen in the next instant. Now is the time of our salvation. The altar is going to be open as the praise band is getting ready to get up and lead us through maybe another song here. There's going to be a couple of guys who might be standing with me that were willing to pray for.